Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Zach, Jay, and Matt.
Hey, yo.
Hello.
And today we're talking Alien Earth Finale, Season 1, Episode 8. And, you know, I recently listened to our holiday draft episodes from 2020. And I gotta say, I felt like I had a lot more energy back then.
What does that tell you?
Says times have changed,
but yep. Still reminds me of beating holidays. Us down.
Maybe right. A little bit of that, but it still feels like the holidays every time I listen to it.
Hey, come here, Zach.
Go. 5 years coming, later.
We're playing Fortnite and gaming on.
I'm missing Rob.
Missing Alana. I'm gonna try to find my way to you, Jay.
Because you're beautiful.
So, anything you guys want to talk about? Matt was at a concert.
Yep, the holiday concert.
Listen
to those elementary schools with their squeaky, screechy instruments.
Did you have fun?
It was nice. Can I tell you what the best part was?
Of course.
I finished.
A lady came up to me and said, "I loved you in Fiddler on the Roof." I was like, please, go on.
What was the favorite thing that I did that you liked?
Yeah, exactly. No, that was nice. That was nice of that lady to do that.
That is awfully nice.
So, yeah. I actually wasn't as chatty as I probably should have been, but I was kind of tired.
That's reasonable. Stars got a rest.
That's right. Yep, and it's been I know talking about the weather is like the last resort here, but it's been super cold here, so I got out. I realized I had a heavier jacket that I got on, so
Connecticut standards it's cold, huh?
Oh yeah. It was like 28 degrees all day.
That is cold. You know what that means though? It means guilt-free gaming, that's what I say.
Yeah, it was like 30 here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I believe it.
I didn't go out for my usual walk.
I know.
Wow, look at you being married and lazy now.
He's letting himself go.
No, I did the stair stepper instead. A much better workout.
Indeed.
But it's not as fun. Oh, here's your chance to max out your ammo, Jay.
No, I don't need to.
So other than that, there's not too much going on.
Cool.
It was cold. We saw the kids were in some theater productions. So that was cool. We saw a Christmas Carol. Scrooge.
I have a question for you guys.
Scrooge.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I have a question for you guys. Do you know that there's a Christmas Carol 2?
By Dickens?
Miss Carol 2.
No, it's a movie. And Guru was watching it at her physical therapy. And it sounded like she had been, like someone was messing with her. But the people at the place said, yeah, that's the Christmas Carol 2.
Huh. That sounds
never heard of that.
Interesting and fun. Yeah.
Apparently, Tiny Tim is still sick, and Scrooge regressed to being a jerk again.
Oh, I did know about that.
All right, so shall we get started?
Yeah, we can get started with Alien Earth. So first of all, guys, I realized I messed something up.
Uh-oh. You messed something up.
I think my app was broken or something because...
Did you watch this episode last week?
I watched the beginning of it, yeah. The scene where the old lady is...
I thought so. When you started talking about the intro, I was like, I think he watched something.
What's he talking about?
I think he saw something that he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, freaking Hulu app.
And then you went again and talked about it on the podcast like it was supposed to be part of the episode.
Yeah.
You're talking about the lady with the blue bandana on her head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scientist lady.
Yeah.
Here, Jay, let's just hold up here and not attack anybody. See what happens.
There's a guy on the right, Zach. Right there. He just passed over him. Where? Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I thought that was last episode. Then we have the kids in the prison.
They're shooting from behind us.
So I feel like, I feel like this episode, a lot of things happened off screen, and it was between the last episode and this one, and it was confusing.
I mean, I knew that they had gotten arrested, and I guess it makes sense that they were put in prison. So that didn't totally come out of nowhere.
Right.
But still.
But still. Yeah.
No, but still.
So the beginning is the alien visits the body of Arthur, which seems to be pointless, but I guess it pays off later when you see it come back and, like, take care of its baby alien.
Yeah, like, it smells like the remnants or whatever. The old juices.
Yeah, yep. Also, also we learned Nibs is alive, so whoever thought she was dead, I guess they were wrong.
Yeah, she was stunned. Obviously, I never thought she was dead.
It's just stunned him. Okay, so Wendy starts to turn more evil. She says they should be afraid of us. They being all the humans, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some guy, I don't know who it is, gives like a briefing to explain everything that's happened. So that's good. He's like, the children are in the room, but it's not designed to hold them. I don't know how long it'll hold.
Yeah,
it's the old. It's the other android.
Yeah, the bald one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. And I have to say the production design of the prison, I didn't really like it because with the glass door, it makes it seem like it just has an open door.
The glass door. What's behind the green glass door? Yeah,
exactly.
Incoming car, Jay.
Okay. So that was confusing. Yeah, the sensor and lock off. This is the episode for me where Wendy / what's her name?
Marcy.
Storm. Marcy goes full Mary Sue. Oh, and she can somehow, the main thing being she can suddenly somehow control machines.
She's had that ability since like episode 2.
Well, I didn't see episode 2, Jay. Has it come up since then?
Yeah, she manipulates the cameras and all the visuals and can tap into listening to people and stuff like that.
Okay, enemy up top, Jay. Here we go. Let's kill him.
Then she's definitely a Mary Sue, because that's ridiculous.
Well, it's like, whatchamacallit?
It's her sick ability.
Behind you, Zach.
I was watching something about the Resident Evil movies, where the main character, Alice, has, like, the plot forms around her to make her seem cooler. So it's more like that.
Okay, if you say so. That and the ability to speak to aliens it's too much. It's too many things.
Yeah. Well, I feel like somebody has like a fetish or something, because take a shot every time it's a close up of her mouth doing the click 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 sound.
Yeah.
ASMR, baby.
You might say. Yeah. Yeah, so and that's another part of this episode I hated, where deep in the lockdown of the alien of the prison, she can
hear
very quietly and speak the alien language and they can hear her.
And it immediately does what she says. It never turns on her. Storm, run.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, I do appreciate that it's a good like threat, you know. Like the synths and the aliens teaming up. Oh man.
It's a good raising of the stakes, but with the alien being unkillable, as I think we talked about last episode, the alien is unkillable. It's not that interesting of a threat, because it's just like, okay.
Yeah, bullets just seem to bounce off the alien.
Just wait for the alien to come and kill you.
Well, this time the alien does get a little hurt. Does get shot in the head and kind of runs away
and goes ow, and then runs away. Yeah,
ow, ow, ow.
To your left, zip line to your left. Okay.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't. For me, there was not good drama in this episode because
there's two cars here.
Zach's distracting him while you move in close. Never mind. Morrow and the brother are in jail together. I guess they're in a separate jail because.
Okay, yeah. Okay, hang on. I'm going to take over, dude. Let's get back on track. So first, so Wendy takes control of the computers. I'm taking over. Wow. This is like Wendy.
Yeah.
So the first thing she does is she is like messes with the woman scientist, where she plays the videos.
You're jumping ahead.
What are you talking about? That's the next thing in my note.
No,
I think you're jumping ahead.
Okay, no. Fine.
Because there's the whole part with the fire team in the elevator first.
Oh, that's later.
I don't think so.
Okay. Anyway,
first so if we're going back, like, are we backing up to when the brother and Morrow win the whole thing?
Oh, no, we can go with that. He's cynical about corporations. He's like, these corporations.
And they're in jail together because I guess they're both human, even though Morrow has like a weird arm thing.
He's a cyborg,
yeah.
The two fleshies against all the other ones who are locked in a jail cell that can't hold them for their life. I like how the other cell is like all grated, and then just the door is like see through, like shielded. I was like,
I mentioned that earlier. It's so confusing, right? It makes it seem like it has an open door all the time.
Not just that, but it's like I wanted to get to that because it was like, wait, why is only the door like force like shielded? It's not like they can't reach through the wall, like the grating or something.
Right.
I do appreciate the fact that they locked up Morrow's arm. I was hoping that they just ripped it off. I was like, why didn't you just rip it off?
Because then you can't escape later. I mean, if we're asking questions like that, I still can't believe that the kids don't have some kind of kill switch. Or maybe, or they used it later. Some kind of Isaac Asimov third law of robotics thing that like shuts them down if they get out of line.
No, that's too much.
Data's off switch.
Yeah.
Boy, genius can't be out intellected, so he would always have a way to outsmart them and win the battle.
Yeah, boy genius was really dumb in this episode, but we can talk about that later.
And what is with the different levels in the cells? Like, just randomly, just different levels?
Yeah.
It was cool. It was interesting.
It was, but also, why?
I agree.
I was like, because then I was thinking, maybe it's like a training cell where, like, they had to practice, like, being and their, like, agility stuff. So maybe it was just a training cell for them where they could go all out or something and practice, but I couldn't figure it out. That made no sense to me because they have the whole outdoors, the whole entire island to go play and be agile. And
yeah, I think it's because they needed a prison, so they just had one built.
Yeah, I wouldn't overthink it.
It was awkward and I didn't appreciate it. Anyways, all right, moving on now.
Okay, so this is the part with the tag team, as I call them, where they get betrayed. And it's the self-destruct in the elevator, which, is this like Star Trek, where just everything has a self-destruct?
Yeah, it seemed really dumb. It's very dumb to have an elevator with a self-destruct.
Yeah, like, why would you build that? I don't get it.
Well, the other question is, was it an authentic thing, or were they just messing with them?
Right, was it entirely in their minds?
Well, or maybe had the computer pretend like it had a self-destruct and it really didn't.
That.
Yeah. I thought it was unnecessarily cruel on her part. Are we supposed to feel sympathetic to Wendy? What do you guys think?
Not anymore, I don't think. I think that faith
has you are.
Gone out
the window.
I think
she's the Mary Sue, so you have to like her.
Yes, but I don't think necessarily feel authentically like, aww. Like, you understand that. Yeah, no, she's now just messing with fleshies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at the end, you're kind of supposed to say, what's up with that? But not up until that point.
They're supposed to seem like
this fire team, I call them a fire team because I think that's what they refer to themselves as. I don't think you're supposed to, I don't remember them doing anything particularly cruel and unusual to anybody else.
Yeah, so they're still humans, though.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Meatbag. Us versus them.
Yeah. Draw along racial lines or whatever.
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think that's what they're getting at. Don't you?
Okay. I don't think so, but you've watched more of the show than I have.
Yeah, I think so. I think at this point, because so throughout this season, and especially during this whole episode, they talk about and they basically like do a compare and contrast on like the people in their lives, right? So Marcy thinks about how they're not really human, but they weren't human. Nibs is all freaking out. Then the psychologist thinks of them as just as kids. But then we get into the whole story time about the boy genius's parents. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like the whole thought that, he doesn't like relate to other humans, and we've seen this throughout the whole entire season, where he rather just associate with synthetics because they're the next step or whatever, right?
Yeah. No, I think I've just sort of, I might be projecting a little bit because I want them to go to war against the humans because I think that would be interesting. You know, aliens and synths versus humans. Whoever wins, we lose.
We lose, that's right.
So, I admit, like, but yeah, I just think it's interesting because they used to be, you were human once, Wendy. What happened?
She was murdered.
I found my grave. Okay, so anyway, so the whole part of the tag team I didn't like, because they were like friends with her brother, so I thought she might be nice to them. But I guess not.
It's also like punching down.
Yeah, it's like you already have control over an immortal alien.
Yeah,
an until an alien.
Yeah, why do you have to like make him suffer first?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's the other part. Like, that's like we get into the whole part where she's like, "Yeah, why haven't we been afraid of them?" She understands that they're punching down to them, but they've been purposely punching down to against everybody and everything, and they've been told to do that. And why should they hold back now when they don't have to?
Yeah, because there's still a little bit of humanity in them, you would hope.
You hope.
Yeah. Hope they would remember what it feels like to be human, to feel pain.
But they don't feel.
Dun, dun, dun.
Conceal, don't feel.
I didn't program you to have feelings. Okay,
so then
Moro escapes using like the oldest trick in the book or something. He's like, "Hey guard, can you come over here?"
And then he opens the door. Wait, and then he opens the door. How does the door open?
Marcy opened it.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, she just does the whole hand wave Jedi mind trick, but on the door. And waves it open. Because she's going flipping through all the screens and all the visuals. This is how she's messing with people, messing with the doctor, making them rehash those memories and all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And, so then we have the big cyborg fight between Moro and Timothy Olyphant.
Kersh.
What a fight!
Yeah.
So exciting.
Brutal.
So much fighting. Good.
I liked it. It was a good fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to die when the blood started coming out. You know?
Uh-oh.
The synthetic blood?
Yeah.
I kind of assumed they wouldn't. There's a whole team here just dancing.
No, they're NPCs, I think.
I accidentally unlocked some NPCs. Sorry, guys. So, okay. Sweet. So yeah. So we have the cyborg fight.
So, so I figured they wouldn't. Well, I figured Kersh didn't die just because we've seen them get hurt like that before and survive. So I was like, okay, so this is fine. But I did expect him to be stronger than Moro, like significantly stronger.
Because
he's full synth versus a one-armed synth.
Yeah.
Good point.
I agree.
It was kind of sad that he was being tossed around like a rag doll.
Maybe he's built more for like administration than fighting.
Yeah, I agree.
No, that's
no,
what
my
that's
money.
Daddykins was built for.
Who's Daddykins? Morrow?
No, Daddy Synth.
Yeah, that was a good reveal, but we can talk about it later.
Who's Daddy Synth?
We talk about it. We'll talk about it later. Okay.
Okay.
So then we get. Well, actually, we'll talk about it right now because.
Daddy Synth time.
Yeah, Cavalier sob story where he's like, "My father was mean to me, so I made a synth. The synth killed him.
Yeah.
And then the synth became my dad.
Yeah. Good times.
That was actually a pretty good reveal. And then we meet that guy later. And he's like, I guess I'm going to have to kick your ass, Wendy. Oh, but then, of course, it totally fails at that, too.
That's who that bald guy was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daddy Synth.
Does he ever call him that?
No.
No. That's our creative interpretation.
He calls him his not parent, but
maybe dude.
Head of something or something like that.
Go.
Family head or whatever. He made his own head of the family or something like that.
Yeah, because a 6-year-old would not couldn't run a corporation.
Multi-trillion-dollar corporation. Yep. Yeah.
So I thought that was a pretty good reveal.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that one.
Yeah, except, of course, this is the main sort of thing that bugs me. And I know they kind of explain it by saying that Cavalier has ADHD, but he still does all this stupid stuff. Like, he's surrounded by synths that could easily kill him. And he's like, oh, actually, you guys belong to me.
Well, again, he thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
That's such a lazy way to get around a smart character doing stupid stuff. He just is arrogant.
But it's also fact.
Yeah, it's boring,
it's
though.
Convenient way to have conflict and have your smart character be defeatable.
Right. So the Lost Boys all line up behind Wendy's revolution pretty easily. And I like the two boys. They really seem like followers. Huh? Yeah.
And I'm not in a free revolution.
Yeah, the two boys really seem like just followers, where like they just do whatever they're told to do. You know?
They're just sweet, sweet children.
Okay.
The sweetest little boys in the world.
Yeah, so they're good. I mean,
they, I have no will of my own. Oh,
I know you're being funny, Jay, but I mean, it is true that they were for a while. They were like, we don't want to hurt anybody.
I'm not kidding at all. It's an authentic statement. They're just the sweetest little boys. Like, all they want to do is have fun, play games, and be friends with everybody. And then they are stressed when their families are threatened. Like, but they're always looking out for. They just want to look out for others. Like, they're this. Just sweet little boys.
Fair enough.
I'm looking.
Okay, so the crew is lined up. And so then we get the bro versus the eyeball creature, which I like forgot about. So thanks to the recap. And when Cavalier says, I'm gonna feed you somebody weak.
That was a pretty taking fire. That was a pretty well done scene, I thought. Pretty intense.
Yeah. And then Wendy shows up, and it's a pretty good where I thought, the old guy, Daddy Synth is going to have to, it's like, she's going to have to fight him while protecting her brother from the eyeball creature. That's a good reveal, or, you know, that keeps things interesting. But then, oh no, she just can immediately defeat the guy. No problem.
Yeah.
Easy.
The eyeball guy?
No, the Daddy Synth. She just says stop, and he stops.
Yes, that was terrible.
Technology.
Boring.
He could have had some kind of sweet override.
They're low. They're so low.
Right, I'll go in and get them. Matt, leave the car.
That's our ally.
Okay, so, yeah, we get a confrontation with Cavalier where he's running, and then there's the alien, and then there's the kids. Oh, no. Here comes the TAC team. All of his followers. Oh my god, this is so exciting. And then, once again, you know, it gets totally undermined.
Underminer?
Yeah, they just kind of knock him out and put him in prison. I thought there was going to be a big fight, but no. the alien just kills everybody really easily. I don't know. Anyone else underwhelmed?
Yep, I was underwhelmed. Yeah. And it especially didn't help. We're getting out of here. I know there's a car coming. We could go to the high ground. I know. It was especially worse for me because the whole controlling machines thing came out of nowhere to me. So it just felt like, even though it wasn't, it felt like a deus ex machina to take away all the dramatic tension right at the very end.
I gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
It just gets a new power.
But I like the where the kids all break up and they all have their own individual targets and they're just like terrorizing, hunting.
Yeah, you get on this, you get on that.
I heard this stupid song at the dentist today, and now it's stuck in my head. And I can't get it out.
What song is it? Share it.
We need a little Christmas right this very minute. Do 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 do. Yes, we need a little Christmas.
Okay, thank you. We're gonna get copyright striked. So anyway,
the Batmobile has lost a tire.
All right, keep going, dude. My guy's gonna die in the storm.
So is that the end? Wendy says.
Okay, so the tag team gets killed by the aliens, as we discussed. Arthur ends up getting eyeballed, his dead body. All
Yay!
Right. Okay, nice job.
I got what I wanted for Christmas. A crowned victory.
Yeah, we just have a couple of things left. So Arthur gets eyeballed, Yutani's coming. Wendy gives Cavalier a big lecture about, oh, you were mean to us, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And has her big reunion with the alien, and she says, now we rule.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. I actually do kind of want to watch the second season because of that. I know it's going to be disappointing, but I want to know what happens. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm vaguely...
Oh, whoops, I've been muted.
I still think Marcy is the most boring character ever to exist.
Yeah, it got
more boring than Wheel of Time.
More blah.
Yeah. Even more boring than Wheel of Time.
I did like at the end you get to see the alien with the baby alien. Chill.
So cute. Did you like how it was like Earth camo alien with brown tones?
Yeah.
It's a space alien that's all black.
Interesting.
Dare I say Earth tones?
Oh,
Earth tones because they live on.
Which makes no sense because they're not. But what? I do.
I'm interested in Arthur being the alien, the eye alien too. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Like I initially thought it would. I didn't like it, and I thought it was weird that the eyeball alien could take over a dead body. But then I realized, oh wait, no. I mean, it lived in the dead cat for a while, and then. The sheep, I guess, was probably dead after a while, but the sheep kept eating, so I'm assuming the sheep was still alive, but the cat was dead. Definitely dead.
So, it's dead. It has to be dead.
Yeah. I was actually wondering if the alien eyeball thing was going to fight the crab, and the crab was going to just...
that was funny. I like when the crab was like, ah! To the alien. That was funny.
Mm.
I like that part.
That would have been great if it was just like snip, 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 snip,
snip, snip.
And they all was like, no!
Alien's like, I found a threat. A real threat.
And I can't take over its eyes because it's too small.
Yeah.
It's like the Humboldt germs defeating the Martians in War of the Worlds.
That's right.
But yeah, and again, no defenses because it's stupid. Shields were down, I guess, and... Yeah, I did think it was interesting, like, how terrorizing those children were getting.
Those rapscallions.
Yep.
And I like the conversation between Wendy and the brother of, like, why did you do that? So you were with them, so you're one of them. And he's like, yeah. My whole job is to protect people from death. And she's like, we were dying. And he's
what
like,
about that? Yeah. What about that flashback scene? That was pretty intense. Where she's like, I'm dying, R2. When are you coming home?
You okay, who's dying? No, they killed me. Am I going to take my crown? I forgot about my crown. Feel like Jay. Anyway, yeah.
Good call.
Yeah, the brother's like, yeah, she was killing people. And so, of course, I knocked her out. Yeah, not people who actually matter, like synths.
It was overall, I think, okay.
I mean, it feels
overall.
I mean, it's like modern television now. Television 2025, it's content. It's like planned. planned characters having conversations, and occasionally something cool happens.
Stretched out.
Fine. It wasn't amazing or anything. Yeah, where did your crown go?
Probably being carried by somebody. This is long gone. It's alright, there's more life than crowns. Don't ask me what.
We're lucky we didn't all die.
Yep.
Should we res Zach, or should we
go res.
Should we just hang out somewhere?
No, let's go res.
Okay. I mean, it wasn't the worst show we watched. It wasn't the best. It was closer to the worst, I would say. I only watched half of it.
They did some interesting stuff with Alien, the Alien world, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep,
I agree.
It had a number of pros and it had a couple of cons, but overall, I accept what they were doing.
All right. Okay, should we move on to question of the day here?
Sure. Question of the day comes to us today, hot off the presses from my children. But it's nice. A good one. Very good one. It was discussed on our way to the concert or somewhere today. If you could have a free reserved parking space anywhere on Earth, where would you have it?
Free reserved parking space.
Yeah. And the thing about this, before you answer, is that, you know, like my son said in front of the Eiffel Tower, but that was not a good choice because how often is he driving to the Eiffel Tower, right?
That is true.
My temptation is to say in front of work, but work is pretty easy to get parking spaces. So I feel like you want to do like the Super Bowl.
but the Super Bowl changes locations.
But can you sell it?
No, you can't sell it. You cannot sell it.
Can you rent it out?
You may not know. It's just for you.
Yeah. No loopholes.
Yeah. So. No, you can't lose it for lucrative purposes. So I think my wife, Naomi, who I guess she would want me to let her come on and say this for herself, but I don't feel like texting her. She had the best answer, I think, which is like downtown Manhattan, right on Broadway. So that way you can drive into the city and park there, it's close enough to us that it's not that unreasonable to go sometimes in a spot that's hard to get parking. So somewhere that's hard to park, I guess.
The alien doesn't like talking to me.
That's a great answer. And I'm tempted to steal it, but I won't.
What about like downtown DC, dude?
Yeah.
Well, like, that's just stealing yours. I don't want to steal
yours.
It's
a different city, but yeah.
I was driving downtown DC. No one cares.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, as a volunteer at the Spy Museum, I get free parking at the Spy Museum. So I sort of do have that if the Spy Museum is open. You know?
Yeah.
So in that respect, I would drive into DC on certain occasions if it makes sense to do it. What am I going to choose?
I would do L.A.
L.A.? Okay,
yeah, you go to L.A. pretty often.
Nowadays, yeah.
See the guys, dude?
Zach, come.
Okay, so for me, for the sake of making a decision, I'm going to say a spot right next to National Stadium. Even though I'm not the biggest baseball fan, I do like to go, and you can go from there to other parts of the city. Pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, I guess now that you don't live in the city, that makes more sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it give you overnight privileges?
Yeah, it's unlimited. You can park there as long as you want.
Oh, then I'm parking on I-95 in between here and New York. I'm just sleeping. I'm just pulling over and then sleeping.
Okay.
On those long, stupid drives.
You can't do that anyway?
No, it's a 2-hour limit.
Oh, okay. All right. Nice. All right. Sounds good. All right. Let me see here. Question number 2.
Oh, and then I could do the van life and I would have a place to permanently stay. Yeah.
Nice. That's a good idea.
Van life. Yeah.
Van life indeed.
All right. Question number 2 comes to us courtesy of Zach. How much of an age gap is too much for dating?
You didn't save this for Alana, so she'd call me a sexist again.
It's not an episode of the podcast unless Alana's doing that.
Yeah,
I think it depends on the lower age.
Uh-huh.
And you're 20, like teens, very short gap, obviously. Teens to 20s, definitely still a short gap necessary.
Mm.
After 22, let's see, I dated 8-year difference.
Oh, that's in a J, bragging.
I did 7.
Cradle robber.
I've done 11 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's complicated.
So, okay, I have a simple answer, which is basically what Jay was going for. But I'm going to say there is none as long as both people are over the age of 25. Hello?
Yeah, Matt's cutting in and out. I heard you fine.
What was that, buddy?
Sorry, yeah, my internet kept. But go ahead. You were in the middle of something. Or did you finish?
No, I finished. I said there is none as long as both people are over 25.
So like a 26-year-old could date an 80-year-old?
If they want to, yeah. It's none of my business.
Okay. So like Bill Belichick and what's her name? It's fine?
Yeah. They're both consenting adults. Doesn't bother me.
Excuse me, we all know that 25-year-olds don't have their brains fully developed.
That's why I said over 25, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Suddenly, I'm okay with this.
26, it's fine. 25, no. Yeah, I was just saying, and hopefully it didn't get too messed up in the recording, that there's not really a hard and fast rule, and it's mostly situational.
Yeah.
That's a cop-out answer.
But it's the truth. Reality can be complex sometimes.
Nah.
Nah.
Yeah, but overall, I mean, I feel like there probably is some sort of gap. Like, definitely. Yeah, it just doesn't seem appropriate at times. I don't know. I feel like that example, for example, was not the greatest example.
Which example?
The Belichick example.
Yeah. So you don't think that's defensible, Jay? You don't think that's okay?
I mean, it's okay? Question mark?
It doesn't really seem very okay to me.
It feels wrong. I'll say that.
Because I think that's the most extreme age gap we could probably think of that's like a real life example.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty rough. But yeah, like Zach said, I mean, they are consenting adults. They know what they're getting out of it. As you know, just it still feels wrong. But hey, they're consenting after that point.
Okay. Yeah, I think 40 years might be too much, but I don't know how much less than that is the defining point of being okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I couldn't tell you.
Could not say.
Nope. All right. And question number three.
Okay.
All right. Question number three comes to us courtesy of the hot seat. Let me get one out. Or just hot seat, I guess. Ooh. What is the worst place someone could take you on a first date?
We'll say within reason.
Like that, well, I guess, yeah, let's say it's a place that somebody would actually take someone on a first date and not like, you know, a concentration camp.
Yeah, like a normal place. Okay, I'm going to say a nightclub.
Ooh, good answer.
Because it's really loud and it's really expensive and you have to wait to go in and there's tons of other people there to tempt you.
What? I was with you until... Sorry.
That last blurb definitely got me.
I'll go. Yeah, I'm trading up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Although I have done it before, I think a movie. Unless it's like a whole production, like you do dinner and all that stuff, and like you both agree you like really want to watch this one movie, but like just going, hey, you want to catch a movie, it probably is not the best. I'm okay with nightclubs because you can still kind of talk. It gets you a little more intimate and it's loud enough that you can have a conversation and not have people prying. And you do get beverages. So I feel like I'm okay with.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're two different people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for Jay's, not so good for me. Yeah.
I don't know, probably. I mean, I like amusement parks, but I don't like crazy roller coasters. So top of a. Oh, no. Actually, no, I got it. Like hang gliding or bungee jumping or skydiving or something like that. Some kind of extreme, thank God we're alive kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good choice too, dude.
Thank you. Yeah, no, thank you.
I kind of like that though, because then you're in the plane together and you have that all that whole time to talk, and like you're anxious and kind of nervous, and it's all like, and then you're like, and you're having all that fun, and then all the adrenaline is pumping, and then you're like, hey, what's up? We survived, yeah.
It's like okay, a movie great. Speed.
Yeah.
So I'm down with
any
that.
Any ladies out there listening? Jay is ready to go.
Risk your life.
The date. First date.
Let's do it. Do it.
Yeah. Enjoy. He's all yours.
I was listening to an episode of My Favorite Murder where this girl wrote in and said for a first date, they went to a water park. So they were like in bathing suits. And the hosts were like, oh my God, I can't imagine doing that.
Nice. What? Why? If you're not, well, if you're like.
Because the hosts are like older. The hosts are a little older. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, you can wear bathing suits that cover up, you know, like that swim t-shirt. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the UV shirt, not the like normal t-shirt that just says I'm ashamed of my body. Sorry, folks. We all know what you're doing when you do that. You're not fooling anyone.
Yeah. You have to do the UV shirt with the full sleeves. That's how it works. Everybody.
Right. No, not the full sleeves. No, definitely not. The full sleeves are too hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, too hot, you're in the water.
No. You're not always in the water though. Yeah. Nope.
Cool.
I can't follow you. All right.
It is nice not having to put sunscreen all over yourself though. If you do the shirt.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, Jay? Jay, you're muted.
Jay. He's switched off his targeting computer. What's wrong? Just cough into the mic like me. Who cares?
Or yawn into it like Alana.
I was sneezing and I was preventing you from hearing it.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it. All right. Anything else, boys? Next week, we're watching Fallout Season 2. First two episodes.
No, we're so starting right off the bat with two episodes? Okay.
Very exciting.
Well, is that what we agreed or no?
Well, we'll talk about it offline.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining
we're gonna
us. Ask,
oh, yeah, because we're going to have to get Rob by in as well.
That's it. Thank you for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us every week at twitch.tv/MCSlancy at 8 p.m. Group up with us next time.
Bye-bye.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you, come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay, listen while they play.